Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. We're going to talk to Kyle Krabs, director of scouting for the Draft Network and the host of the Locked On Fids podcast. Kyle, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Zach, first and foremost, happy birthday to your little one at home. And I saw it online this morning.
Thank you. Got a birthday today, huh?
Yeah, Matthew is 4 years old today.
Wow.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate that very much.
Kyle, that's strong right there, man.
Stuff,
you
Kyle.
Know, you talk about doing scouting reports. That's a very strong scouting report right there. Very good. Hey, let's jump
on the field and off the field.
You're rolling. So what do we expect from Tua Tagovailoa coming back, and good old RPO is back? What can we expect? What do you see maybe he can do better than we got from Jacoby Brissett?
Hopefully push the ball down the field to Jaylen Waddle. You know, you continue to watch the tape of the game, and you know, Waddle's speed is just so electric when he's coming off the line of scrimmage, and he does have some of these longer developing routes that they are calling throughout the course of the game. And you're looking at Richard Sherman, who's only playing a handful of games, and he's well past his physical prime, and he's playing soft zone coverage, and he's flat-footed, and Waddle's giving an inside head move and accelerating up the field, and we didn't even look at him. So, you know, Tua having that pre-existing experience with Jaylen Waddle, that's my hope. You obviously think about the slot fade that Tua hit to Waddle in the opening game against New England, and we really haven't seen those kinds of targets for Jaylen ever since. That's the big thing for me that I want to see from Tua is like, yeah, they're going to run more RPOs. Please don't go all the way back into that side of the pool, right? I think you can run some things, and Tua has the ability to run things more efficiently with what they've been calling without him in the lineup than what Jacoby did. And then that chemistry with Waddle to try and get some explosive plays into this offense.
Joe's been saying this for a couple weeks now since Tua went on IR, and we thought that the Jacksonville game might come back. Is this a 12-game tryout now for Tua for the rest of the season to see if he's going to be the quarterback of the future for this team?
Well, I think if you didn't have kind of the lingering rumor mill regarding Deshaun Watson, it might not necessarily feel that urgent and that clean cut of a kind of parameters for coming back and having 12 games before the end of the season. But yeah, I definitely think with that kind of lingering, and it's clear somebody within the organization is interested in making that move, you're coming back. You've got 12 games. We've seen what the offense looked like without you. Yes, there's no question in my mind that, like, this is an evaluation window, not just for Tua, but for, like, a lot of people in the organization from top to bottom. This is year three of a rebuild. Hasn't taken the way that we want it to. And I understand the Dolphins played the number one strength of schedule thus far in the first 5 weeks of the season. But you know what? We didn't come into this season to say, oh, well, we lost all the tough teams, but it's going to soften up. We're good to go, because we all wanted this to be a playoff team. And when you get to the playoffs, there are no easy games on the schedule. So I think it's an evaluation window for a lot of different pieces, but none more prominent or pressing or interesting, in my opinion, than Tua Tagovailoa.
Kyle, there's a lot of things, obviously, to talk about with this team. When you don't have, like, right now, a lot of the young guys, these last two drafts, which have been so important, we haven't really had a lot of guys stand out in that group, and all, actually a lot of the veterans aren't playing as well as they did last year. So are we throwing that on the players? Like, what the hell happened to all you guys? Or do you think a lot of this falls back on coaching and scheme and what they're asking them to do?
I really wish we could have a more clean look at each of those variables. I think there's some degree of each. I definitely am concerned that you're in year three, and it seems like your players aren't retaining your messaging as well as they did in the first 2 years. And they have a lot of inexperience and a lot of big spots in the coaching staff. But I am looking at guys like Xavien Howard, who for my money didn't really give you a great effort against Tampa Bay, and it's 24-17 and you're on the 5-yard line and it's 3rd and 2 and you got a chance to step in the hole and at least try to tackle Leonard Fournette to keep it a game, and you didn't even try. So I definitely think there's blame to be placed on both the coaches and the players. I'm interested to see as Jalen Phillips continues to get more snaps, and he's flashing a little bit, and Javon Holland got a season high in snaps, and he looks like he's really close to making some big plays. And the Dolphins have had some bad bounces, but they're also not executing, and some of that is on the players, but I'm more primarily concerned by the fact that the Dolphins aren't doing the little things that were like the mantras of this regime for the last 2 years.
The big one is the one we found out the night before or before the game. Liam Eichenberg over to left tackle and Austin Jackson. The team says he can't play the tackle position, slide him inside, moving Jesse to right tackle. I'm curious, how did you think Austin Jackson and Liam Eichenberg played next to each other as a group?
I thought Liam played his best game, which isn't a surprise. A guy who started 40 games at left tackle, and you know, you put him at the spot he played for 3 years prior in college, and I thought he played his best game. Wasn't immune to a couple of reps in which he kind of whiffed on the first punch and looked silly, but tip your cap to Tampa. They've got three really good outside pass rushers there, which Tryon, Jason Pierre-Paul, and Shaq Barrett. So they've got a lot of talent off the edge. So I don't think there's any shame in losing a couple reps, but I thought he generally looked better. And Austin surprised me. I thought his functional strength showed a little bit better. He was late anchoring on the strip sack there at the end of the first half. Got walked back into Jacoby's lap. I was honestly expecting it to go very poorly, and it did not go very poorly. So it's kind of like piqued an intrigue in me and say, okay, like if it's a mental block for you as far as playing on the island on the outside and you feel more comfortable with the bumpers around you, this right now is the pathway to redeeming Austin Jackson, because I don't think there's any way you're giving him a look outside of offensive tackle again for the rest of the season and beyond, in my opinion.
Right. Kyle, how shocking was the play by Byron Jones and Xavien Howard for you last week? Was it more of them and their play, or the fact that Tampa Bay's just got a trio of really good receivers, a 1-2 and a 3 out there with Antonio Brown being the number 3 guy?
Yeah, that's really a great wide receiver room for Tampa Bay, and I don't want to take anything away from them, but I don't think anybody would tell you that those guys played well. And you think about the money that's invested in those guys, and the physical skill sets that they have. The secondary is supposed to be the identity of this defense. And if they're going to struggle like that, and it was some execution, it was some bad matchups, it was also effort. I know I had mentioned Xavien Howard in the run fit against Fournette in the red zone, but there were some other plays from Howard particularly that jumped out at me that said, man, like, we got to give a little bit better effort here if we're going to hold out all summer long to make sure we're the highest paid player on the team and we want the respect of the team, then you got to return the favor. And I don't know that necessarily we got that version of X on Sunday against Tampa Bay.
You get ready now to play a team that's lost 20 straight games. Jacksonville, the coaching stuff with it that's been a distraction, they're trying to figure out how to win. I think this game is so huge for a team that hasn't won in a month, hasn't looked good for the most part at all, maybe a couple of quarters in there, but for the most part have not played great football. This game, all of a sudden, you need to get your confidence back and take it out on a really bad Jacksonville team, or be the team that's lost to a team that's really struggled since the beginning of last year. I can't tell you how big this game is. Do you feel that same way as they get ready to play Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, this was kind of the tipping point on the schedule when it first came out that said, okay, like the first 5 games are tough. You'd ideally have liked to have gone 3-2 with a healthy quarterback situation or 2-3 and have a bad bounce of the ball and you don't find yourself after six games the same spot that you were last year. That hasn't happened. So how this team responds is huge in the next two games too. Like, you know, you got Jacksonville this week and then you come home and you play the Atlanta Falcons, who are not a very good football team. So that was the one thing that the Dolphins did well last year. And that, I think that was the most demoralizing part of the loss to the Colts, is you looked at the schedule and you say, okay, we feel good about X, Y, and Z. You should consider this a very strong chance for a win. And Miami last year down the stretch took care of those games. They have not done that this season to this point in time, but these next two games for Miami and an opportunity to get to 3-4 before you go to Orchard Park and play Buffalo, you got to win them both. And if you don't win them both, then we're going to be we think it's bad now. We think the temperature around this team is bad right now and the energy and the fan base is bad now. We got to take care of business these next 2 weeks because it will not be fun.
Kai, what's the most shocking thing to you about this team right now, this 1-4 Dolphins team?
I think it's probably the lack of discipline. They came into week five. I'm not sure where they're at right now, but they came into week five as like one of the six or seven most penalized teams in football. And you think about the takes no talent mantra and all the things that play smart, don't beat yourself, play disciplined, do your assignment. And you're hearing Brian Flores after the game say, yeah, our guys aren't getting into their run fits. They're trying too hard to make a play. They're not doing their 1-11 to the job. And we're one of the more highly penalized teams in football. So like that's the most concerning thing to me. And that's the most surprising thing to me, because that was considered like locked and loaded for the last 2 years. And I really don't have a good explanation as to why that has happened.
One other thing before we let you go here. One thing that Jacksonville does well, one thing. They can run the football at about a 5.3 average, which is unbelievable for a Dolphin team that's been in the threes here for a while. Can you stop this run? And James Robinson's a lot of it and has had a really good season. But, boy, they got some other guys, too, even off their quarterback that's doing it. Well, for those guys in the middle, this is a big, big week. Raekwon Davis, Christian Wilkins got to play a lot better in my mind. What are your thoughts?
I think they have been I agree that Raekwon Davis being back for this game in particular is huge, because you think about James Robinson and he's a north-south runner and he's a load to bring down. My eyes go to Elandon Roberts, who's credited with, I think, the third most missed tackles of all defenders in football thus far this season through 5 weeks. He's a hammer that comes downhill and sticks you between the tackles. And you're going to get met with somebody who runs that same style but going the other way. Mm. So, Elandon Roberts, big opportunity for you. The guys who are playing on the edge for when they run off tackle, Andrew Van Ginkle, Jalen Phillips, those guys got to have a big presence and make sure they're not giving up creases, so that if they go power or they go lead, that you know you're not getting a fullback or a lead blocker getting up into your linebacker or your safety in the fit with a full head of steam. So for me, it's the guys on the edge. I like the physicality that Raekwon Davis brings and Christian Wilkins brings and Zach Sealer brings. And quite frankly, I'd love to see Zach Sealer start getting more reps. I think he's at 47% for the season, and he's getting outsnapped comfortably by Adam Butler. Like, we also got to get our best players on the field. And I think Zach Sealer is a guy who every time he touches the field, he's making plays.
Yeah.
So I want to get him more involved for the team defensively as well, especially this week with the team that runs the ball.
Kyle, thank you, man.
Thanks, Kyle.
Well, we got in some serious X's and O's stuff right there. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.